in the southern parts.
Good morning. Doc Pete Chambers here. I'm on the road. We are in Dallas-Fort Worth. Today is the 24th of February in the year of our Lord, 2026. 1836, William Barrett Travis wrote a letter from inside the Alamo. Fellow citizens and compatriots were besieged on all sides by enemies. At that time, under Santa Anna. Right now, the enemies are different sort. World economic types. Globalist types. You name it, you put it in there, in the dotted line there, what it is, and understand. Texas, our culture, our way of life is under attack. America, our culture, our way of life is under attack. From those that wish to turn Texas into an investment tool, for those that wish to take away sovereignty and supplant it with other things, that's why we're in this fight. So I'm asking you, as I went down early to vote, we recommended to our folks to vote on the 3rd, on election day, because you might as well get used to it. When I get in office, we will fire the Secretary of State. We will make that an elected position so that people understand that voting is the primary tool with which we have a voice. Sorry about the noise. William Barrett Travis went on to say, I'm calling on everything dear to the American character to come to our aid with all dispatch. With all dispatch, nearly 200 defenders of the Alamo died when they decided not to cross the line, giving them the out from defending the Alamo. And as William Barrett Travis signed off and said, victory or death, they accepted death because they understood that they were in a fight for their life, for the life of Texas, the Republic of Texas. I'm asking you to vote. Republicans, get out and vote. Like me, when I was on the road, I had to vote in my hometown. And right now, I'm needing you to do the same. Make it too big to lose, too big to steal on the 3rd of March. If you can't do it on that day, get out there right now. Start thinking ahead. This is a call to aid with all dispatch. Doc Chambers out.
That's Doc Chambers, who is running for governor of Texas. Vote for him if you can, if you're in Texas. And that it really goes to the heart of what we need politicians to understand. Like, you need them in the Alamo mindset. You need them in the victory or death mindset and in the, you know, wartime warframe mindset. Because right now, they're in this fantasy world where we've got all the time in the world and we're doing things the proper way. And that's just not the way things work anymore. I mean, the successes specifically that Trump has had, his biggest successes have been unilateral movements that require no participation or input from anybody else. When he wants to shut the border gets shut. If he wants to pardon the January Sixers, the January Sixers are pardoned. It's as soon as you start trying to play the game of bureaucracy and the game of politics that you lose before you even start playing. That's why I disagree with people like this, chief engineer, CE on X. Just take a breath. Donald Trump governs in two tracks, public messaging and an operational machinery. Those are not the same thing. He has mastered the art of look at this hand while the other hand is doing the work. You're watching public rhetoric. What matters is administrative throughput. Some concessions will be made. That's normal. Trade agreements, visa reciprocity, corporate pressure, market stabilization. No president governs without negotiation. Yes, part of that negotiation involves sacrificing some of our interests. Putting Americans first has never meant zero compromise. It means direction of travel. Now step back and take a look at labor protections historically. And it's talking about H-1B visas and saying, look, you know, these corporations require this and you've got to balance the act. And it's just like, no. You need to immediately and brutally cut off all forms of support for all illegal immigrants and crush any corporation that defies you.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We are going to take your calls this hour. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. We are live on this Tuesday evening. It's 5.06 p.m. Central Time. And give us a call. And we take calls about anything and everything. I haven't taken calls in a while, so whatever you want to sound off about. And we'll try to get to as many as possible. So I'll try to keep my comments to a minimum. But give us a call, 1-877-789-2539. I still have a couple things to cover while those phone calls come rolling in. Let's go to clip 12 here, because this is the end goal. This is what it's all about. This is what billionaires talk about when they're alone. Reversing aging and living forever. And I hope I don't have to explain once again how this is obviously the ultimate goal of everybody in power right now. That they truly believe, and have good reason perhaps to believe, that they are on the verge of defeating natural death, of reversing aging, and using other biological hacks to basically stretch the human life into infinity, so long as they're not, you know, killed by an outside force. Now, you can't have that exist in the world today. You can't have everybody have that technology. Only a few number of people can have that technology. And you can't have a few people living forever and nobody else living forever. Like, we wouldn't stand for that. As the way the world is composed now, that just wouldn't, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't happen. So they're trying to reorganize the whole world to get us used to this idea, to get us inured and like a frog boiling in water, just like slowly but surely, incrementally accepting, okay, the elite can do things we can't do. They get away with things we can't get away with. They don't have to abide by the laws that we have to abide by. And like slowly but surely, what you're doing is planting the seed of the elite are different and better than us in ways that are, make them godlike. They're practically gods. I mean, when you live forever, and if you then have the ability to dole out infinite life to people who serve you, you are basically God. So you are fulfilling the promise of the snake in the Garden of Eden, and doing so through the beast system. The Book of Revelations truly is, it's the Alpha and the Omega. It's the beginning and the end of this global conspiracy. Started in the Garden of Eden, is ending with hell on earth, and they're pushing towards it with everything they've got. Here's a public announcement about how they have achieved this and are already running clinical trials. Let's watch.
Aging doesn't have to be acceptable. In my world, aging is a medical condition that's very common, and it's increasingly treatable. Even if we cured all cancer today, we would only live an average of an extra 2.5 years. Let that sink in. All cancer's gone today. We only live on average another 2.5 years. Why? Because all of the diseases are going up at the same time. So we need to tackle all of the diseases at once and that's aging. Aging is the cause of these diseases. And what I'm going to tell you today is that next month we're going into human clinical trials to test for the first time in history whether we can reverse the aging process and cure diseases. We can tackle aging because we now believe we understand why we age. And it's not wear and tear. It's not that we just wear out like a car. Our bodies are not like cars. Our bodies are more like computers that can be programmed and reprogrammed and rebooted to be young again. We are like computers, not machines. One analogy, and hopefully you all remember what a compact disc is. We think aging is like scratches on a CD. The DNA is the music, so we get beautiful music when we're young, but when we get old, we cannot read the beautiful music. Our cells do not read the DNA correctly, so the cells, they become lost, they become confused, and our old cells do not make the right proteins, and they get diseases. This, we believe, is aging. But what's amazing is we found that you can polish the CD, you can get rid of the scratches and rejuvenate cells so they're young again. And to put it another way, you can reinstall the software of the body so that it's young again. We can quite literally, in my lab, reverse the age of cells and of very complex organs and tissues, including the eye, the most complex, and the brain. We can reverse aging by 75% in 6 weeks. We actually were able to show that using this method, we could cure blindness in animals for the first time. We could cure blindness. And the world reported just last week that the US FDA regulatory body cleared the way for the first age reversal human trial. It's a big deal. The FDA is very supportive. And we will know this year, maybe in the next few months, if age reversal works.
So there you go. They say they are basically that was at the World Government Summit 2026, which took place in January. He said next month. So as we speak, there are human trials going on for age reversal technology. And I think Sun Optimus on X puts it perfectly. Reversing aging would be a real end of time scenario when you consider how the curse of death is actually a grace that prevents the perpetuity of evil men. Reversing aging would be a real end of time scenario when you consider how the curse of death is actually a grace that prevents the perpetuity of evil men. And who do you think would be first in line for the infinite life technology if it were to come about in the next few months? It would be the most evil people in the entire world. It would be the Jeffrey Epsteins of the world. They would be first in line for the aging technology. They'd be the only ones receiving it, in fact. And I can tell you right now, I know from people who know the guy that there already is reverse aging technology. There already are people alive today who believe that they will live forever because they are already engaged in age reversal therapy that apparently succeeds. So like it's already happening. Now there's an FDA approved trial of it, but you don't actually require an FDA approval if you're just going to experiment on yourself. And that's what a lot of these people are doing. Big tech billionaires in Silicon Valley and elsewhere. So that's the ultimate goal. It is wicked beyond description, and again, just metaphorical in its presence in the human mind. That this is sort of the source of all evil. And I should just play the video, but I've talked about this a lot. I had a video about this that went semi-viral because you have things like every major, like transcendental or transcendent piece of popular media, from Harry Potter to Lord of the Rings to like anyone you care to mention, they almost all share the same characteristic, which is that the bad guys want to live forever. And that's their ultimate goal. And Star Wars, Darth Vader is seduced to the dark side with the promise of infinite life. Right? It's the tale of Darth Sidious. They wouldn't have told you that. Right? It's he found a way to defeat death, to live forever, and just follow me. I'm sorry, Plagueis the Wise, I'm being told. Sorry, it's Darth Plagueis the Wise, I hear. But right, it's a false promise, but you know, if you believe it and you go along with the evil people, you end up half a robot and total slave and dying anyway. Voldemort means flee from death. It is literally French for to flee from death. Voldemort. His whole point is making Horcruxes so he can live forever, right? There's something about this that connects with something inside humans that's like transcendent, that's metaphysical, that's, you know, divine. That there's a reason that these happen to be the very properties that become, you know, cultural movements. It's because we recognize something in the truth of the evil that it portrays. This is, oh my God, it's working. Oh my gosh, the age reversal trial succeeded. Look at that. He's such a young man now. Isn't that amazing? So let's go to your calls now. We've got Chuck from Illinois got in first on line two. Go ahead, Chuck. You are soon to be on the air. Just as soon as... Okay, Chuck, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. How you doing today, Harris?
Doing good. Thanks.
All right. Well, anyways, I want to talk about how, you know, it's just kind of funny how all this is playing out. They're stretching us thin over there in Iran. And then they got the Mexican thing kicking off, you know. So it just seems like you keep saying, you know, the demise of America. But the next thing I want to speak about, you know, this Rothschild thing. We've known this for, what, centuries going on now? You know, at least a century that these people have controlled governments over and over. I mean, why aren't they being decapitated? That's really all I can say. I mean, we know the enemy.
Yeah, well, because they've done a great job of segregating themselves away from us. But yeah, no, it's a great question there, Chuck. I don't know why they haven't been decapitated yet. Anything else?
That's about it, man. You have a good one.
All right, thank you, sir. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Godzilla in Wisconsin, one of our regular callers. Go ahead, Godzilla. What's your prediction for the State of the Union today?
Hey, I think Trump's been doing a great job. We've come so far. We have this alien stuff, chemtrails, all this stuff with Epstein. And, you know, he's delivering in a lot of his promises. Obviously, I'm kind of touchy on Iran, you know, because on one sense, it's like, you know, the Persian Empire is like hundreds of thousands of Epsteins. You know, they've been horrible to Christianity and Europe for a long time. So I don't know if it would be sweat off my back if they got glass. But the problem is that there's so many innocent people, you know, the sins of the father argument. And it's like, I would like to see house cleaning here first, because the screams of the children that are being eaten and violated go on nonstop, and I want to see these people brought up and these monsters removed from society. There's a possibility, I think, that there is a war between secret societies because of COVID. Certain groups suggesting the vaccine to other groups, and backstabbing or too much control in certain groups and other groups wanting more control. Whether or not Trump's alone, lone wolf, or in some group, that's yet to be seen. You know, he hasn't declared that, you know, but what's going on so far, I think, is great. And it's really up to the fact that America itself is on trial from Trump's point of view, that if America has provided Trump, this one person, President Trump, this glorious life, this golden life, you know, and how much he's willing to fight. He's all about fight, fight, fight. Let's see how much he's going to fight for America and how hard he's going to fight. And I want to see if this is going to be another canned speech with just the same old rigmarole nonstop, or if it's going to be something different. That's going to be a signifier if we're going to go to Iran, and it's going to be another military industrial complex cluster mess. and or if we're going to go into, instead of a great reset, a good reset, you know, clean food, clean water, all these things that we found out, a clean banking system, clean government, you know, fix up everything, some prosperity, a good reset, a golden reset. Or I think, you know, Putin and Trump should just launch the nukes and we just hard reset this, you know, because we can't go around with people literally getting eaten. You know, like, I don't expect Alex Jones to suit up like Van Helsing and go literally hunting these vampires. But, like, you know, there's literal vampires drinking people's blood, trying to live forever and eating people. And it seems that unless the media tells people to actually care, the screams of these children that are being violated and eaten and destroyed are just echoing in the wilderness and nothing's happening, you know, and it's just going to continue that way. And then at that point, it's like, well, what kind of world are we really living in? You know, it's like irradiated by evil, that it's like, what are we supposed to keep paying taxes? What's the point? You know, and obviously there's the whole Israel situation where Israel's thrown in the mix for the first time in a long time, you know, and he can take care of that too. You know, he's in a power position right now, and it's really, he's in the commander's seat, and it's his choices that are really going to shape the future and how much we're going to push him to stay on the party line that we brought. He's riding in on the wave we brought him in, you know,
yeah.
And we need to, if he can't do it, we got to find somebody else that can, because all our suspicions, plus much more, have been confirmed in spades, and we have the receipt. Far as the State of the Union tonight, I don't know. It's up in the air. You know, it's more like a you'll see, and it's up to him. So what do you think? Kind of like a bunch of cornucopia of things I kind of threw at you there. But
I think you know, he's usually pretty good at giving States of the Union. He's, you know, He'll probably be sort of typical. We'll hear him talk about his success of Venezuela. We'll hear him. I mean, you know, you can kind of predict what it's going to be. I don't know. I'm not expecting him to do a big barn burner type thing. I just don't think that's going to happen. This is cool. I don't know what this is, but I like it. Where's this from, guys? Who made this? It's Alex Jones. For our radio listeners, it's Alex Jones with a flamethrower walking through the Eyes Wide Shut party. It's awesome. That's cool. I like this. I like what's happening here. I want to see a whole movie like this. Guys, who made this? I want to give credit to whoever. This is Maverick Darby? That's awesome. Yeah, we'd love to see this. We need this, you know, peacefully, politically, metaphorically, but actually just like this. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. Yeah, I don't know. We can't let these people get away with it. We really can't. And we should pray that Trump is aware enough of what's going on that he's not, I mean, is he really that confused by why he's not doing well? I mean, everybody saw the video from a few days ago. He seemed like kind of melancholy. And he's like, I don't know why we don't have more support. And it's like, because you keep betraying your promises. What are you talking about? So, but he's still like got a communication channel open with Tucker Carlson, who seems pretty aware of what's going on. So, you know, hopefully he's listening to some of those people and just dealing with the unimaginable pressures of being United States president. I mean, I feel for him, and I still am not convinced that he's like fully on their side by any means. If that was the case, things would have gone a lot differently, but it's just whether or not he can truly resist the pressure from the people around him. And so far, it hasn't been a good year for that. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Sean in California now. Wants to talk about USS Ford and the opportunity to false flag it. Go ahead, Sean. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. I think your thoughts about the USS Ford are kind of on point, whether it's false flag or mutiny. Remember, the name of Gerald Ford has infamy because of the ties to JFK, replacing Nixon, and just being an utter tool. So what better way symbolically than, this stuff happens, but, you know, it disgraces the name of Ford in a way. Mm. And then the flip side of that, like you said, it gets us involved with her. I was even thinking in my head, what if it was a quick reversal and we just we take out all of the Epstein network in Israel? Whoops, you know, because that'd be a nice reversal, but that's hopium speaking. I wanted to tie that also into, you went on the tear for a second there about the life extension technology. And it came to my mind that maybe this Epstein file stuff, Harrison, is being done to placate people about the biomedical research to get people used to it, like when stem cells were the hot topic of the day. Everybody, there's a lot of people who go to Mexico to get stem cell treatment. That's a polite way to put it. So I'm wondering if maybe that's going to be the new economy, is all that research that Epstein had that we're seeing in the files. Not only would that be morbid and gross, but like you said, it would allow the villainous to outlive the righteous, you know?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on these issues, man?
No, I think you're exactly right. And I think, I don't know. I don't know if the Epstein release like corresponds to that, but it gives you an idea of like who these people are and what they value. And like the idea that they are drinking blood in order to live longer is like not even, you know, absurd at all. It's like very much in the wheelhouse of what they do. And you can see like, these people genuinely do think of themselves as above and set apart from humanity. And so getting life extension technology would just be sort of fulfillment of what they see as their due for existing, as their reward for, you know, being alive, is that they should be able to live forever and everybody else should die because they're worthless. I mean, that is the mindset that comes across very clearly. And the manipulation of DNA and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it all folds in together. So no, I think you're exactly right. We have time for one more call this segment. We'll continue with calls in the next segment. Let's go to Nathaniel now in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Nathaniel. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Harry, son. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, it's been a while. I talked to you the last time was probably 2023 or something like that, maybe 2022. I'm calling because right now I'm living in obscurity, basically, here in the Democrat-majority state of Rhode Island, and I'm really tired of it. If this was a different time period, for example, my grandpa volunteered to fight Nazis during World War II, but obviously this is a different time that we are living in, but I'm calling to see if maybe, just maybe, InfoWars and I can establish a better relationship, because I need a job, man. I really need a job, and like I have a YouTube channel, and I posted about Tommy Robinson because he's in America. And so my YouTube channel, Nathaniel Dempsey, Dempsey at Nathaniel_Dempsey. That's my YouTube channel. I posted about Tommy Robinson. He's in America. I would love to shake his hand, and I would love to work with you guys. Now, I just want to say real quick, though, the whole thing with Owen Schroyer, I don't know all the details, but I see it as a negative just in general. And then I heard Gerald Celente recently say that Alex is a sellout. He said that on a David Knight show. And it's just just in general, I want to say all this division, it doesn't make me feel good. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't make me feel good that, like, even Savannah Hernandez, I tried to be her friend and she doesn't want to talk to me. And it's really a shame, man, because if we could unify, we would be stronger. But like if Savannah Hernandez doesn't want to talk to me, and I have no idea why Owen Schroyer left, and, you know, Gerald Celente said Alex Jones is a sellout. It's a giant mess, man, but, like, I want to join a team. I want to be part of a team, you know what I mean?
So well, look, I mean, I don't know about getting a job. We are about to go through some pretty major changes here at InfoWars, so, you know, stay tuned for that, and I'll check out your YouTube channel at Nathaniel_Dempsey. But, look, Owen quit because his ambitions compelled him to quit, okay? He wasn't fired for anything. David Knight was fired, but not because of what he said or the coverage that he maintained, but because of his attitude behind the scenes. So, you know, you got a lot of people that have personal beefs with Alex, and they want to act like it's on principle. It's not, though.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that are it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah, it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones' methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on.
This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I got to tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Back, folks. Just breaking from Colonel Douglas McGregor. He says, a decision has been made. The president, the secretary of war, and their senior military advisors become convinced that the air and missile campaign will compel the opponent to submit to Washington's demands. Get ready. According to Douglas McGregor, we're going to launch an attack against Iran soon. So that's in line with everything else we've been seeing. It's just out of whack with, a desire to continue to exist as an American state that is worth defending. I want to go to one more video before we go to your calls again. And this one, it's a little weird, okay? It's a little odd, and this might seem kind of off the rails here. Guys, I'm trying to find the video of the Japanese. So 42 here, okay? Clip 42. This is a live streamer who's in Japan. She sits down, and another woman sits on a park bench behind her. And then the woman looks over, and the woman behind her has a fake face. And you know, if you're watching this episode on a replay later at night, that's the best way to watch, because you're about to see a horror movie. You're about to see something that when I first saw it sent shivers down my spine. But I'll explain it in just a second. But this is an incredibly creepy, like urban legend level, caught on tape. It's just, I don't even know how to intro this. It's just freaky beyond belief. Let's go to clip 42 here. So there's the woman. She sits down, looks over, and the girl got a look at that. What is that? What is going on? Why is there a mannequin woman? Why is there a mannequin woman at the park? Can the crew pause it on her face and maybe zoom in on it? It is so disturbing. Look at that. So what is it? So the girl just immediately gets up and runs away. Because I would too. Yeah. What the hell? You got fake people walking around? So this got posted and people were just like, what is going on? What is that thing? So turns out this is a phenomenon in Japan. And I have to say, as soon as I learned about this, I learned to love it. I learned to love this freaky little thing because I feel like it gives the correct impression. So what this is men in Japan, supposedly, is a new phenomenon in Japan where men wear silicone bodysuits and lifelike female masks known as, quote, tight men for their tight-fitting bodysuits. These individuals have been accused of engaging in inappropriate behavior in public places. So here's one of them. So you got these, like, creepy mannequin men walking around with these, like, doll faces on and sitting around, and they look totally fake. So the reason I love this is because I feel like, for once, people can see this and understand how I feel and how we feel about transgenderism. This is transgender. This is just as freaky and weird and creepy as a man dressed up as a woman. That's all this is. It's a man dressed up as a woman. But it's like, thank you to Japan for giving a visual that represents the horror underneath. Because when anybody sees this freaky mannequin woman walking around with her fake face, you get a chill. You get something going up your spine. You get a instinctual reaction to run away or kill it, right? Yeah, maybe they're just trying to avoid the social credit system. Maybe this is an anti-facial recognition thing. But it's so creepy and weird, and yet it's really not any creepier or weirder than a man wearing a dress, walking around pretending that he's a woman. I mean, that's what this person's doing. You know, what's so freaky about that? Why don't you accept? What, you don't want this person changing next to you in the locker room? What's wrong with you? Why don't you go embrace the mannequin man? She's a beautiful woman, just like you. No difference. Yeah. Bizarre beyond belief. Here, come to this. Come to the doc picture. Again, it's just like there's something evolutionary that goes off when you see this. The doll face on the living being. Beyond creepy. But, you know, if you got a problem with this, then you must be transphobic. You must be transphobic, and we can't have that here. We can't allow that here. You have to embrace the doll-faced men pretending to be women so they can get close to other women. And if you get scared by them, it's because you hate. You're a hateful person, and you'll go to jail. We have to send you to jail for your hate speech, for not embracing and loving these freaky perverts dressed up like women. And then you have people being like, actually, this is different. These people are doing it for sexual gratification. Transgender people believe that they're in the wrong body. And it's like, no. No, actually, it's exactly the same. It's actually 100% exactly the same motivation as the silicone men in Japan and the men wearing dresses in America. It is the same, actually. It's one and the same. So finally, we have a visual to represent how everybody should feel about transgenderism. It's just we've been, you know, like frogs boiling in a pot of water. We're like used to it for some reason. But if you were to bring anybody back from the, you know, find somebody cryogenically frozen from the 50s and show them literally any transgender person in the modern day, and they would have the same reaction that you have when seeing the mannequin-faced doll silicone person from Japan. Okay. And on that, you know, we'll go out to calls. Well, let's just go to clip 22 here just because because I think we should do something about this. I think the government actually has a responsibility to do something about transgenderism. The fact that we can't go a week without a transgender person committing a mass murder. We've had two this year. We're not even in the second month. We're not even done with the second month, rather. So, like, this is an actual national security threat, and I think we need to do something about these people. Okay, let's go to clip 22 here.
I think we should start killing kids until they let us use whatever bathroom they want.
So I was a man in a dress on stage saying, I think we should kill kids so we get to use whatever bathroom we want, which would be funny if transgender people didn't have a record of killing children at a massive rate, like significantly higher than any other group of people ever. So not actually that funny, actually kind of a real threat from a dangerous group of people. With that, we got to your phone calls. Let's go to Cheeky in Washington State on line 9, discussing the mutiny on the Ford. Go ahead, Cheeky, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Harris.
Hello, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Harrison. First and foremost, I'm against striking Iran or any of that. I just want to preface everything I have to say after with that. I'm against it.
Sure.
I am absolutely appalled. As a veteran, I'm absolutely appalled to see the complete breakdown in discipline on the Gerald Ford. I want to remind everybody that the Navy is the most important of the services. I'm a Marine, by the way, and I say that because they're the ones who project our power throughout the world.
Right.
And I'm looking at X. And I'm seeing pretty much every foreign adversary using this incident on the Ford as an opportunity to subvert our military. You know, saying, "Hey, you know, we salute you guys doing that." You know, and it's if you're in the military, you don't have a freaking political opinion. That's part of the sacrifice you make when you sign that dotted line. Like that's pardon my language, but you just don't. It's subversive, and it's dangerous. And as an American citizen, I look at that and I'm terrified because we're dependent on these people to defend us.
Yeah.
Like this is the greatest. I can't think of a better excuse to go buy a gun than looking at this. Our military is absolutely riddled. Especially the Navy, it's riddled with CCP activists and CCP spies. Like it's a known thing,
right?
And it's, you know what? It's been a long time since the Navy or the Marine Corps or the Air Force or anybody, the Army, has hazed anybody, and it shows. And quite frankly, it's embarrassing and it's appalling. You know, I don't agree with striking Iran. But I'm more appalled by the fact that our military, that we've got non-rates, we've got people that aren't even petty officers who are doing this kind of stuff. And you know what? When I was in, I couldn't fathom doing some kind of crap like this.
Right.
It's unbelievable. And shame on the U.S. Navy for allowing this. This is a complete breakdown in discipline, and you're embarrassing the hell out of us. And you know what? As far as the State of the Union goes and all that, they're eating children, man. And, you know, I'll go ahead and finish up with this. If you file taxes, you condone what they're doing. Like, it's really that simple. It's an unethical to file taxes at this point. Like, it is the last nonviolent thing that we can do to protest this. It's serious. They don't listen to our votes. We haven't secured our elections, and quite frankly, the last final thing that we can do before violence is the only option left is to not file taxes this year.
Right.
You know, and I wish that wasn't the case, you know, but quite frankly, what are our taxes doing? The entire purpose of it is to keep us impoverished. They don't even use it to fund anything because they just print whatever.
Yeah.
So if you're submitting to that, if you file your taxes, shame on you.
Well, I got to agree with you. I want to talk a little bit more about the potential mutiny on the USS Gerald Ford, because I'm right there with you. And again, this is why I thought it was so important last year when the Seditious Six came out saying, you know, you're supposed to question your orders. I was appalled by that, thought that was awful, and yet it was sort of treated like, well, you know, you are supposed to, you know, disobey orders. But, like, clearly it's seeding this discontent, this dissension in the ranks that we're seeing potentially manifest now. And there's contradictory reports, you know, maybe it's not deliberate, you know, messing things up. But clearly the sailors are talking to reporters and saying they want to quit the Navy, and that alone is sort of beyond the pale when it comes to military discipline. So, like, how do you think it got this bad, and what do you think the steps are to get us back? And I guess, what responsibility does the administration have in, you know, maintaining morale and, you know, sort of pushing the sailors to the point where they feel the need to mutiny? I mean, what responsibility does the administration have versus the sailors?
You want to fix this? I know how to fix it in two easy steps. Arrest Bill Gates and publicly execute that son of a... And then find whoever clogged up the toilets on the USS Ford and then publicly execute them. That'll solve all of the morale issues, and it will clarify the reality of the situation. Because the fact of the matter is, they are the leading edge. They are the sword that's supposed to defend us. And if that sword is crumbling, then we've got a serious issue here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, maybe that's a little radical or whatever, but at the end of the day, they're eating children. And how can you have a military that has the social media and everything else that knows everything that we know? And yeah, if I was serving right now, I would seriously be questioning it too. Like, what am I doing here? But by the same token, you made an oath. You raised your hand up and you said, hey, I swear to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And ultimately, while you're serving, you don't get to have a political opinion.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
I agree.
I didn't get to have one. And up until, like, I guess it was right around 1900, you couldn't even vote when you were in the military.
Hmm.
You know, and I think that's something that maybe we should revisit, because the military has gotten way too politicized.
That's absolutely true.
It's part of the sacrifice that you make. It's part of the reason that you get those benefits when you get out. That's the deal. You give up all of your rights while you serve, so that you can go ahead and preserve it for the rest of us. You do your time, you get out, and you enjoy the rights and you enjoy the benefits of having said, yeah, I'm willing to give my life and bleed for this country. But this mutiny, this is absolute no. As an American citizen, it is absolutely unsat.
Yep. Well, I appreciate it, and I think you are exactly right about, you know, how angry you are at this. It's just another aspect of, like, the collapsing social contract, where, you know, we're expected to uphold our end of the bargain, but we get nothing in return, and we feel that way with taxes, right? We pay taxes. What do we get for it? Replaced, degraded, everything that we love destroyed. These people sign up to give their lives. What do they get in return? Treated like pieces of, you know, meat on a chessboard that are there just to die for the whims of whoever. I mean, it's a betrayal on both sides, and it just represents a total collapse of our system, how it is meant to function, and it's a lack of trust on both sides. It's not a good signal for the future. Thank you for the call, Cheeky, and yeah, I completely agree with you, and I feel your passion for it. It really is disturbing. And again, just from what I know from the Navy, from, you know, we're reading a lot of books about it, it's like, I still understand, like, the threat of mutiny and how it's like, not, you know, it's like, you know, back in the old days when you're on a wooden ship, it'd be like having an open flame, right? It's like, there's a horror to it where it's like, no, you don't even risk it. You don't even talk about it. Like, it's that bad, because yeah, when things start going bad on a ship, it's not easy to turn it around. Crazy stuff. Thank you for the call, Cheeky. Let's go to Angelina in Texas on line 11. Go ahead, Angelina. You're on the air.
Hello, Harrison. It's good to talk with you again. I posted on your X account excerpts of The Making of the American Civilization. I swear, this is the textbook for 1776, the entire concept. I really feel like I need to get this textbook over. But anyway, I do want to say something in regards to what's been happening. And this is under the Colonies Grow. This is chapter two. So I'm going to do a quote from this textbook, this high school textbook. And it's going to go with public affairs discussed in print. It is an invention of Americanism in the United States that we have a free press and we have a free speech and where people of all religions and creeds can stand up and question your government or state of public affairs. This was truly an American and uniquely an American invention. Yeah. But I am going to make a quote here, especially with all the difficulties that we're having with the latest news. So I'm just going to read it out. Okay. The question was asked, what kind of government is really best? In 1717, John Wise, a preacher of Ipswich, Massachusetts, answered that nature had, quote, set all men upon a level and made them equals, and that a democracy in church and state is a very honorable and regular government according to the dictates of right reason. Then he added, this is the important part, the end of all good government is to cultivate humanity and to promote the happiness of all. Okay? Yeah. This was very different from the inherited European idea that the end of government is to promote the happiness of a small class of rich people.
Right.
That's it. So, yep. I'm going to have to get this out. It has 1,000 pages of it, but every page is, this is the textbook of 1776. This is the textbook of how everybody identified and embodied of what was being with the American, being an American, not a white, not a black, not a Mexican, not a whatever, not a trans. This was a collective experience from all of these. How can I say? There is a lot of elements that went into the American experience all the way up to 1940. And this is a textbook for Florida. I put in a few samples on your X. And this is the textbook for 1776. I mean, these first couple of chapters, they're reflecting on exactly what we're having right now, with censorship and things being withheld from the public, that the public find out that, you know, this is not a good thing. This is all happening all over again, and we have a textbook that brilliantly, brilliantly puts it all together.
Wow, that's amazing. I love it. That's that's fantastic. And again, it is like we have just lost knowledge of civics, like knowledge of just like what the purpose of our government is and why it was instituted and why it has, you know, the structure that it has. Like people just have no idea. And so, yeah, we really do have to get right back to the basics. Plus, I have family from Ipswich, Massachusetts, and I love that little place. It's a beautiful little town, Ipswich, Mass, and it has produced some of the geniuses of all time. Very, very interesting stuff. I'll take a look at that book. Thank you, Angelina. Angelina Santiago on X. Very cool. Let's go to one more call. Thank you for the call, Angelina. Let's go to Air Force One in Georgia. Air Force One, go ahead. You're on the air.
God bless you, Harrison. Nice to talk to you again, sir. Thank you.
Very good to hear from you.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, mm-hmm, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Thank you, Harrison.
What I would like to share, and take a break, Harrison, for a minute here. By the way, AlexJonesStore.com, Ultramethylene Blue, fresh mint flavor, is $29.99. It's on sale.
25%
off. Jones VIP, Alex Jones VIP Club, $30, folks. Alex Jones is not funded by George Soros or any of the degenerate shite bags. No, we are crowdfunded. Colostrum, the ultimate gut and brain bundle, $99.99. Ultramethylene Red Sour Strawberry, $39.99. I'm a 51-year-old Gulf War veteran, Harrison, and I have come completely off of the VA meds, and I take these supplements, and I feel like 30 years off my life. I'm 21 years old again.
Wow.
And I'm doing push-ups, and I have my vigor back, and it's just incredible, Harrison. It's incredible. This is for any doubters out there, the Modern World Survival Stat, Atomic Defense, Ultimate CMOS, the Sheila, these products will help you. They're the best products. It's not that crap that you get from Walmart, that Chinese glyphosate crap that you get.
Well, and that's kind of the thing. You know, supplement companies can get away, like the bad ones, the not reputable ones, and get away with, like, you know, they'll say it's energy, and they'll say it has all the vitamins and minerals. It's a proprietary blend, and it's just caffeine. It's just straight caffeine. Like, you got to be careful when you're buying supplements, which is why you got to go to the AlexJonesStore.com, because we will not survive by selling you less than fantastic quality stuff. Like, we depend on you coming back over and over, so we always give you the best stuff, and we've done the research, and we guarantee that our supplements are the strongest on the market, the most bioavailable, the best balance of all the different ingredients. We have done that work for you. So if you want to buy tallow, ours is the absolute best. If you want to buy colostrum, ours is the absolute best. Whatever you want to buy, we've done the research. We've sourced the best supply, and then we bring it to you at the best possible discount, the best possible price alone, and then it's usually heavily discounted on top of that. So if you've ever wanted to try any of these things, you know, I know some people, they'll see something we advertise, and they'll think, oh, that's pretty good. I'll go get a different brand. It's like, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to hit you the same. You might buy a different brand and think, ah, Shilajit's no big deal. It's like, well, are you getting the real stuff? Are you getting the real high-quality, thoroughly vetted product? Or are you just getting whatever is, you know, advertised to you on Amazon? No, go to thealexjonesstore.com. You always get the best product available at the best price, thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you for the call, sir.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took
10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlbertShowStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.